You listen to the Jason Greger Show podcast brought to you by Lakewood Chev. Right now they have the 2017 sports car blowout, Camaros and Corvettes. Only seven remaining. Price reductions to $20,000. No reasonable offer refused. Check it out right now, Lakewood Chev. Shocker, there's lots of chat about Klefbom. People still think that the Oilers are playing him while he's injured. I talked to Klefbom. He says he's fine. Has felt fine ever since he got the cortisone shot. Says he doesn't require surgery. And people are like, well, he's not playing in the World Championships. He goes, well, I'm not playing in the World Championships just because I want to rest. What do you
mean? Right.
Like, I don't think he's injured. Are you hearing anything that suggests he's injured?
Well, no. I mean, I think we all know he hasn't been as healthy as he was last year. And I think we all know that it was more significant and hampered him a lot more early on in the year, but he tried to play through it. And then I believe he took some time off to try and get himself right. And I think now he's not necessarily 100%, but that he's...
Well, that must have been a really good point because he lost it.
It's... Yeah, listen, who knows? I mean, we know that there was something going on. We've seen, we've heard him talk about the cortisone shot. We've heard him, discuss the injury. But how much does it hurt him? And how much time or what kind of work will he need to be done in the offseason? Shocker, just to finish off your thought.
Yeah, sorry, guys. I'm in my truck here, but I got full bars, so I'm not sure what happened. Listen, I think it's common for players to have injuries that are, they're not going to make it worse by playing with it. That they're playing through some pain and finishing out their season. Not every single player who's hurt shuts it down for the rest of the year. I mean, the Oilers are paying Oscar Klefbom $4 million, and I think the player has some responsibility to, if he can play, to play. I don't think the Oilers are dumb enough to put Oscar Klefbom out there if he's at risk of making this injury worse. I don't think they're dumb enough to do that to showcase him. People know who and what Oscar Klefbom is, and it would be idiotic to know that he should be shut down for the year, but to refuse to do it. That would just not be smart, and I don't think that's what's going on here. I think the player is trying to finish out the year with his team, playing through an injury that's probably been nagging him for a while. Lots of players do it. Am I wrong, Struds?
Oh, no, there's lots of guys who do it, but I guess my thing is if it requires a surgery –
yes.
I would. The idea is to keep playing the guy just so he can be showcased. I just can't even believe that enter a general manager's mind because the other team would want him healthy too. You know, and
yeah.
You know, so I have a hard time believing this.
Well, and that's what people need to remember is that the other team gets to do a medical on the player they trade for.
Right.
They're allowed to bring him in and give him the once over. They're allowed to probably see all of his doctor's reports in the months leading up to it. There's no secrets. You're not hiding anything from anybody. Right. And on top of it, you've got an agent who advocates for the player. And if the team was doing something that was putting the player at risk, the agent would be all over it. So, listen, I haven't talked to anybody from the Oilers. I haven't spoken with Klefbom's agent. I didn't even hear exactly what Elliot said. I don't think that Elliot is suggesting directly that the Oilers are knowingly putting the player at risk, forcing him to play out the stretch. I didn't hear what Elliot said, but that's not what he's suggesting, is it?
I never heard exactly what he said. I think some people it wouldn't be the first time people are upset, so they like to misinterpret something that wasn't exactly said the way it was said. They were saying that they were showcasing him earlier. There's lots of guys that are rumored to be moved. And, hey, on this team, I would say there's probably, well, one for sure. And
three untouchables.
Who is the third?
Nurse.
Okay.
Yeah, I can't disagree with that. You don't have Cam Talbot in that group?
I don't see how you can have a goalie with a 900 save percentage.
Yeah, I would say at this point he's as close as the next guy. But if there's a trade that makes sense, that gives them, upgrades them somewhere else on their team and gives them, some solid goaltending still, I don't think they're going to trade Cam Talbot, but that's not what I'm saying. But I think untouchable is a little bit of a different label. McDavid is tier one, completely untouchable. Draisaitl is super unlikely, and I highly doubt they would ever trade him. And then Nurse would be phase three of that, which is you definitely don't want to trade this guy. He's getting better each season. And as a skill set that is hard to find, I would be staggered if they traded Darnell Nurse. So there's kind of almost three different tiers, but I would say that those three players in Peter Chiarelli's mind would be the three that'd be untouchable.
Ron Ashok, TSN, joins us. Looking at that, Lucic looks like he's under the weather. It will be game-time decision tomorrow. But Larson's back. He was skating with Nurse today. Russell was with Klepbaum. Sekera was with Benning. Todd McClellan really skirted the question when asked if Bear's going to play. Just said, well, you know, he played well, and he's got to help us make the decision, yada, 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 which, you know, he didn't really give an answer when I listened back to it. But watching practice today and seeing it looks like Sekera's on the second unit power play, so I don't think Bear will play. But I did some digging on the Oilers' power play, and, like, I don't care.
Oh, boy. I feel like this isn't going to be good.
Like, they were talking about, oh, shots, you know, shooting percentage is low. Yeah, okay, of course the shooting percentage is low. But let's look at the shots. In the last 14 games, the Oilers' power play has two goals, okay? The first unit has one goal. And the first unit has predominantly played all of the power plays for the Edmonton Oilers. Because here's the Oilers' power play minutes over the last 14 games, right? It's been basically five guys. McDavid's played 35, Draisaitl 34, Klefbom 33, Strome 29, Lucic 28.5, okay? And they have one goal. Here's the other part. Ryan Strome has one shot on net in those 14 games. So he's the only right shot on the ice. Everybody knows where the puck is going and it's never going to get a shot from because they don't set it up on that side at all. Like, if the Oilers, they can try to tell me all they want, their power play is not predictable. It's freaking predictable. When you have one shot from the only right shot on your power play in 14 games, everybody knows that the shots are coming from elsewhere, specifically from Klefbom at the point. McDavid only has five shots. Even though he's shooting a lot everywhere else, they're still not shooting on the power play. Like, and they don't change it, Ryan. Like, it's kind of mind-blowing to me.
Well, and I'll disagree slightly with you in that they have changed it. I mean, they've got a couple of different looks. They've got McDavid up at that point a little bit and Draisaitl down in the one-timer spot on the in the right corner. You know, it looks to me like they've given Connor more ability to travel around and to rove around a little more than maybe he had before. So I'm not saying that it looks great. I wouldn't convict them with it's a terrible power play and they're not doing anything about it. I have seen some fairly significant changes, but the results aren't there. And at the end of the day, the results are all that matter. And so whatever changes they're making aren't working.
Well, I guess when I say changes, personnel changes. Basically, Letestu got taken out. It's been four lefties and one righty all year, basically, right? So to me, if it's not working, why not consider a second right-hand shot on your first unit? Because the second unit has had way more success in significantly less minutes.
Yeah, and I don't disagree with that. That's why I felt they should try Ethan Bear on the top unit last game, because he seemed to be playing with a bit of confidence, and why not give it a look? Maybe that's why they need to give it a longer look with Matt Benning now. On the first unit power play, just to see what that right shot back there can generate in terms of opportunity. You know, and at a certain point, I would like to see Puljujärvi put in that spot, not just that bumper spot where, you know, he's supposed to stand there in the middle of the ice and be that real short little pass, but actually set it up the way they set it up with Ovechkin, set it up the way they set it up with Laine. Actually have him in the catbird seat, ready to unload and put a focus on, let's see if Jesse can hit the puck a few times and see what happens. I'd like to see them base some of their set plays around getting a one-timer off his stick. So, you know, McClellan is very slowly, you know, and I asked him about Puljujärvi today, about the way he's deploying them. He's being cautious and slow, but I think it's time to, you know, with that power play being as bad as it is, just fire him in there in that spot. Try and work some pucks over to him and just let him fire away, and maybe something good happens.
Well, yeah, I hear what you're saying. So who's going to feed it from the top? You still got McDavid and Klefbom throwing it from over there?
Yeah, you got the cross-ice options, and then if you got the right shot up there, you know, the right shot can feed the one-timer from the other right shot over on the left side. So you got Benning back there that can slide it down. Yeah. I mean, if you look at the way they set up Ovechkin, I mean, they always find a way. They either get it to the top, in the middle, and then, you know, Ovechkin will slide over and down, and you're shooting from over there. Or you isolate it. You can you know, if somebody overplays one of the guys on the other side, then you've got the seam pass. The problem is, I mean, Puljujarvi's got a nice shot, but I think, you know, it runs the risk of being super frustrating for the coach because I don't think he's got a ton of control. And I think all it takes is, you know, from a 19-year-old player once or twice where he fires it wide, it ends up Cam Talbot playing it behind the net. You know, it'll frustrate the coach, and that's something that you got to be patient with him and just let him fire away from over there a little bit and to dial it in. But he misses the net once or twice, and it rims around the boards and down the other end, and that'll be the end of it. And that's where coaches have to show patience with young guys and put them in positions to fire away.
Shager, have yourself a good one. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Okay, see you, boys.